Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Welcome, welcome. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, your host for the next hour, as we try to go deeper in our pursuit of a more profound, more personal, more amazing relationship with Jesus Christ. So, hang in here with me and let's spend some time together trying to do that. May the Lord richly bless our time together and heal us of mind, body, and soul. And I've heard that Pope Francis is still in the hospital. I don't know if that's true, but we pray for his recovery and well-being. And also, I want to shout out a little prayer to the Lord to please comfort and help those who have been suffering from this strange weather we've been having over the last few days, actually for months. The people in North Carolina are still suffering. The people in a number of places are having, California, many, many places. And this recent storms that we've had that have flooded and wind damage and people have died. It's very sad, and we're just praying that the Lord will comfort them and help them, send helpers, let's put it that way, to renew their homes and give them comfort in their times of sorrow. Anyway, what I would like to start with a psalm. Okay. So I love Psalm 100, and this is not the version that I was raised in with and memorized. So it's a little foreign to me, but it still says the same thing, just in a different way, and I love it very much. Psalms 100, acclaim the Lord with joy, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter his presence with songs of joy. Proclaim that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his possession. We are his people, the flock he shepherds. Offer thanksgiving as you enter his gates. Sing hymns of praise as you approach his courts. Give thanks to him and bless his holy name, for the Lord is good. His kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness is constant to all generations. One of my favorites. And then I want to read at the end of Psalms 19 is a little prayer that I offer up to the Lord for myself. And it is, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart find favor in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You know, it's interesting. Years ago, I had a puppy. Well, not a puppy. He was 13. But that died unexpectedly. And he was my little shadow. He went everywhere with me in the house. And we traveled a lot together and stuff. And so when he died, it was such a sudden thing. It was very traumatic for me. I was younger, and it was difficult for me. I cried every time I walked in the door because he wasn't there anymore. And he was my little happy dog. His name was Teddy. And I just missed him so much. And I grieved very deeply for him. And after about 6 months, really was that long, I was in my office and I found a book about It was a book of collected psalms and scriptures that, in a format that you could read in the morning, or pray read in the morning and pray read at night. And I opened it up, and in it was some psalms that caught my eye. So I started using that book, and it changed everything. Praying the psalms especially changed everything. It brought me out of that depression. It brought me out of that grief. Obviously, I still missed him, but it gave me a different perspective that the Lord was still there. He was still listening. He was still present and could heal that grief. And I just kept it up until I was really strong and healed, you know. And so, you know, years went by. I wasn't Catholic at the time. Years went by, and I became Catholic, and I heard about the Liturgy of the Hours, which is, there's books that the church has put together that the priests and religious pray every day, various times of the day, and they pray it in unison with each other, and it's really beautiful. But it was too much for me. And then I found out later that you could, that you can get a shorter Christian prayer version of it, and you can get a medium-sized version of it. I believe it's called Christian Prayer. And so I started using the shorter versions, and it was an eye-opener. It was the same kind of thing. At first, it felt a little unusual. Obviously, I'd prayed my own prayers of petition and joy and that sort of thing. But this is a kind of a worship, kind of a way of worshiping and praying at the same time. And it started to grow on me. And now I really love it. I absolutely love it. It is a wonderful way to pray. In fact, before I became Catholic, I was using, what's her name? I'll think of it in a minute. But she was not Catholic, but she put together a prayer books for the seasons, very much based on the Liturgy of the Hours that the Catholic Church uses. And it was so beautiful that I would pray that even before I knew about Catholicism. So there's something really beautiful about praying those kind of prayers. Phyllis Tickle. Yeah, she did some really wonderful books on prayer, but it wasn't Catholic, but it's very similar. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, how important it is, you know, and how healing praying the Psalms can be. And the church knows that, and that's why the Psalms are integrated into our daily prayers. Okay. Just for a second here, I'd like to back up a little bit to last week. I read the I Thirst Locution from Jesus to Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa, years ago, about his great love for each one of us and how he thirsts for us and desires a personal relationship with us. And it was long, but it's very powerful. And you can find it online if you missed that. You can find it online by searching for I Thirst letter, I Thirst poem, I Thirst whatever, and Mother Teresa. And it will pop up in various forms, and you can read it, and you could print it out if you like. I recommend printing it out and keeping it with your Bible or, you know, a bedside or something, and reading it once in a while to just help you to realize how much he really does love you. And he doesn't just love you. He longs for you. He really does. So, but I wanted to share one quote with another quote from Mother Teresa that goes along with that, and then we'll move on, okay? But anyway, this is St. Mother Teresa, and she says, "Do you really know the living Jesus? Not from books, but from being with him in your heart? Have you heard the loving words he speaks to you? The devil may try to use the hurts of life, and sometimes our own mistakes, to make you feel it is impossible that Jesus really loves you, is really cleaving to you. This is a danger for all of us, and so sad, because it is completely the opposite of what Jesus is really wanting, waiting to tell you. Not only that he loves you, but even more, he longs for you. It is completely the opposite of what Jesus is really wanting and waiting to tell you. Not only that he loves you, but even more, he longs for you. Thank you, Mother Teresa. All right. There's a lot going on in the world right now. We have storms, we have earthquakes, we have bad weather. We have political things going on, wars and famines, it's disease. We have so much going on. And sometimes we kind of, even we Christians, kind of throw up our hands and feel like we're, you know, it's hopeless or we're helpless to do anything about it. And we worry, and we don't need to worry. The Lord has told us, fear not, I'm with you. And in this world you'll have troubles, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So, I mean, yes, we're concerned. Yes, we don't live in denial. But the Lord has given us so many tools and so many ways to actually make a difference. And we don't even necessarily have to leave our homes to make that difference. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. I want to talk a little bit about listening and silence in a chaotic world. For a few years, I could feel the Lord. And once I started praying the Liturgy of the Hours on a regular basis, I could feel him calling me into the deep. And what I mean by that is into a deep prayer life. And that has that's can be different for each person. But we're all called to be prayers. We are all called to spend time with the Lord. It's a part of who we are as humans. We were created to do that. And yet we get so busy with our lives, are so worried and overwhelmed, that we have a tendency to put that on the back burner and stay busy with things that we think we need to do more than we need to pray. So I want to share a few things with you today about that. I found that, and I don't even understand myself, I felt like if I did do that deeper prayer, and if I did say yes to that, that I would be stepping off a cliff, so to speak, into a great abyss of unknown. And that worried me. For some reason, I don't understand why. But anyway, eventually I finally got the message that, you know, this is something God really wanted for me. And I had to say yes. And I did say yes. And it's been a tremendous, tremendous blessing in my life. I know him better. I experience him more often. But it's not unique to me. He offers this to everyone. It is what we were made for. That is our first priority, is to be close to him. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to it. Everything else will be taken care of. Everything else will come as it should. So anyway, I've been saying yes to that for a while now, and I can tell you It's remarkable. And I just want to encourage you to open yourself to all that he wants to give you if you just say yes to spending some time with him. So I want to share a little bit about that. He wants a deep personal relationship with us. He does want us to be in church, in community, but he also wants a deep personal relationship with us. And one of the main ways is prayer. That's where we make the bulk of our progress in a relationship with him, aside from the sacraments. And so, I have a background in scripture, so I want to share a little bit to you. I love this Psalm 46, quote, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still, come away, be quiet. Be quiet and know. As a result of being still with him, he says, you will know him. You will know that he is God. It will be proven to us. Be still and know that I am God. Okay? And this is what God the Father said about Jesus at the Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when he says listen to him, he is not just talking about reading the scriptures and hearing what he taught, seeing what he taught, not just being exposed to the various magnificent traditions that draw us closer to him, that are related to his words. It's also about being quiet and hearing him. Okay. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. I want to focus a little bit today on silence. Wow, it's so rare today. Even when we have some quiet, it feels so uncomfortable for some of us that we just turn the TV on, or we turn the radio on, or we make a phone call, or so. It's like we're so uncomfortable with silence. And I'm telling you right now, folks, that is not from God. God dwells in the silence. You remember in the Old Testament when Elijah was seeking the Lord, and he went up into the cave, and he basically said, "Speak, Lord, and I'm here, you know, let me hear your voice," you know, kind of thing. And he heard the wind roaring and carrying on. It wasn't in the wind. And a few other things happened that were in your face, you know. And but where was the Lord? Elijah heard a little tiny sound. And he realized that was the Lord. And he got down on his knees and he listened. You know, that's where God speaks to us. So I want to read to you. There's this wonderful series of books and meditations. And I want a little shout out to Micah Parsons for turning me on to it. And this is from Silence, The Embrace of Love Between a Soul and God. There are a lot of wonderful books out there on silence and being quiet before the Lord, being still before the Lord. Father Sarah wrote a wonderful one on prayer and silence that is just remarkable. So I want to share with you a little bit from this book on silence that I was telling you about. There's a quote. "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And then it says this. Our capacity to listen well is contingent on our growth in silence. A person who listens is attentive to the heart of the person speaking. Listening is an act of love towards the other. It requires the silencing of the heart. Saint Teresa of Calcutta said, "Listen in silence, because if your heart is full of other things, you cannot hear the voice of God." I'm going to repeat that. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, "Listen in silence, because if your heart is full of other things, you cannot hear the voice of God." Pope Benedict XVI, God rest his soul, or God rest both their souls, encourages the church to rediscover silence. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but when he retired from the papacy, he went off to be in prayer. He went off to contemplate the Lord, to write, to pray deeply, to be contemplative and hear the voice of God. And here this is what he says even before he retired. Pope Benedict XVI, "The word, in fact, can only be spoken and heard in silence, outward and inward silence. Ours is not an age which fosters recollection or meditation and pondering. At times, one has the impression that people are afraid of detaching themselves, even from a moment, from the mass media. For this reason, it is necessary nowadays that the people of God be educated in the value of silence. Rediscovering the centrality of God's word in the life of the church also means rediscovering a sense of recollection, and inner repose. The great teachings in tradition teach us that the mysteries of Christ all involve silence. Only in silence can the Word of God find a home in us, as it did in Mary, woman of the Word, and inseparably woman of silence." Henry Nouwen, in his book, Bread for the Journey, writes about difficulties encountered in listening. And this is what he says. "To listen is very hard, because it asks of us so much interior stability that we no longer need to prove ourselves by speeches, arguments, statements, or declarations. True listeners no longer have an inner need to make their presence known. They are free to receive, to welcome, to accept. Listening is much more than allowing another to talk while waiting for a chance to respond. Listening is paying full attention to others and welcoming them into our very beings. The beauty of listening is that those who are listened to start feeling accepted, start taking their words more seriously, and discovering their own true selves." And then the author goes on to say, "The scriptures continuously exhort us to listen to the voice of God." All through scripture you hear that. Listen, listen, listen. Pray, pray, pray. Approach the Lord. Okay? So here the author says, "The scriptures continuously exhort us to listen to the voice of God." And she prepares a couple of them. One is from Psalms. "Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice," from Psalms 95. Then in the book of Exodus, "Be attentive to him and listen to his voice. Do not rebel against him." Be attentive to him and listen to his voice. Do not rebel against him. When we refuse to listen, we are in rebellion. And to be honest with you, It's not very smart to be in rebellion against the God that loves you, because he respects your free will. And when you say, I don't want you, and I'm not interested in spending time with you, then his hands are tied. He respects you too much to overrule what you want. So, anyway, the book, another one I thought of when I was reading that, the scriptures say, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. In other words, respond to it, listen to it, ponder it. And then the final thing I want to read to you out of this little book is the beginning step of true silence is learning to listen to the voice of God, which speaks to us continuously through scripture, in nature, through the voices of others, and in the interior of our hearts and minds. I'm going to read that again. The beginning step of true silence is learning to listen to the voice of God, which speaks to us continuously through scripture, in nature, through the voices of others, and in the interior of our hearts and minds. Okay. Another quote by Mother Teresa that I wanted to share with you is, before you speak, it is necessary for you to listen. For God speaks in the silence of the heart. Before you speak, it's necessary for you to listen. For God speaks in the silence of the heart. I'm going to change it a little bit to say, for God speaks in the silence of your heart. That's where he's going to speak to you. And the article said he speaks to you in other ways, but that personal, one-on-one, direct from him stuff happens when you take time to be quiet with him. And all silence, true silence, when you're being silent with the Lord, the whole goal, the whole purpose of being in that silence with the Lord has listening at its core. We go into that silence to listen. Okay. When we come back, I have to take a hard break. When we come back, please stay with me. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. God bless you. Stick with me.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. I'm Rita Halk Lane, your host for the next half hour. in the past half hour, we talked about how important it is to find quiet time with the Lord. Now, some of you, you don't want to hear this. You don't want to hear about, you know, taking time to be, you know, away from your busyness, taking time to, like, hang out with God. To some of you, maybe you think that's the most boring thing in the world, but trust me, it is not. The Lord is, wow, he's the most exciting thing you can encounter if you give him the time. So that's what we're talking about a little bit, and I will do Mother Teresa's quote again. Before you speak, it's necessary for you to listen, for God speaks in the silence of the heart. What I wanted to do now is I want to, prayer is a part of that silence. And so that time alone with the Lord, I wanted to read you some scriptures on prayer. And then we'll get into the nitty-gritty here. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. That's from Psalms 145. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. That's from Romans. In another in Romans, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for we do not know what to pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. James 5, if is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. From the early church in the book of Acts, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In Jeremiah, the Lord says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. So that's all I'm going to share. I mean, there's hundreds of them. But that's all I want to share with you right now. And then there's it's really funny. This song came to me twice in this last week. And it's also mentioned in something I'm going to read to you in a minute. But it's called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Now, those of you out there, I don't know if the Catholic Church ever used this hymn, but it is definitely used in the other Christian churches. And I love it because it refers to what we're talking about today. I'm just going to do the first stanza of it. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And it goes on, and it talks even about more things that we suffer and put up with and expose ourselves to because we have failed to pray. You know, a lot of people don't understand the power of prayer, the power of silence with the Lord. I'm telling you, every time I go on retreat, if I have the opportunity on that retreat to get away from the crowd, go somewhere quiet, and spend time with the Lord, I always come away with something really profound and important. Always. Always. And I know it's because I'm coming away with the Lord on retreat in the first place. And then I take extra time to be in silence with the Lord. And he has promised that he will I don't want to say reward. Respond to those kinds of things that we do. because he knows it's not easy for us to set aside time and go to on retreats. He knows it's not easy for us to set aside time to be in silence and to prayer, ponder, read the Bible. He knows that. So when we do it, it pleases him so much. And he responds to that. So I just want to encourage you to do that. So anyway, to start this next segment, what I'd like to do is a quote from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 6. And it says, "The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while.' People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat." This is Jesus and the disciples. Talk about being busy and having things to do. And it continues, "So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place." Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. People were coming and going in great numbers. They had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. Okay. So what I want to share with you is an article by Monsignor Pope from the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., for teachings on personal prayer. And obviously, you know, I'm trying to also stay into the stillness and the quiet time with the Lord. But prayer is a very valuable and important part of that stillness. Listening is important, and praying is important in the silence. And in that, when the apostles got together and they reported all they'd done and taught, okay, in the weeks prior, Jesus had sent the apostles out two by two to proclaim the kingdom, to preach, to heal, to integrate themselves in the community and be his disciples, true disciples. Now they had returned and they were very eager and excited to report their progress and all the graces they encountered and all the incredible things that happened as a result of their going out and doing what he told them to do. So I'm going to read this to you real quickly. As Jesus listens, he urges them to come away and rest a while. For they had labored long, and in so doing, Jesus also teaches us about prayer. Let's consider four teachings on prayer that are evident in this gospel. Number one, the practice of praise-filled prayer. As the text opens, the apostles are with Jesus, joyfully recounting all they experienced on their missionary journey. In a similar text in Luke 10, the apostles return rejoicing, saying that even demons are subject to them through Jesus' name. Thus, their first instinct is joyful gratitude before the Lord. Joyful gratitude before the Lord. Is your prayer filled with praise and thanksgiving? Are you grateful to God for all he has done? Do you tell God what is happening in your life and give him thanks for all he has enabled you to do? And another thing I was reading said, you know, if you're so busy you don't even make note of the good things that happen in your life every day, the things you're thankful for. And it could be something so small as a delicious cup of coffee, or some hot soup on a cold day, or an unexpected phone call from a friend. At night, write a little list. Go back through your day and examine your day and make a little list. So you're always realizing and aware of the little blessings as well as the big. Okay? And then he goes on to say, too many people think of prayer only in relation to asking for something. But praise is also an essential part of it. When Jesus began his instruction on prayer, he said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.'" In other words, Father, your name is holy. You are a great God, a wonderful God. You can do all things, and I praise you. Thank you, Father, for your name is holy, and you are holy. That is, hallowed be thy name, is a praise and thanksgiving. And then he goes on to say, praise the Lord. Thank him for what he's doing and tell him everything that you are experiencing. Scripture says that we were made for the praise of his glory. So praise the Lord in your prayer. How do you praise? Take a psalm of praise. Pray or sing the Gloria from Mass. Sing or recite a hymn. No matter how you do it, praise him. And of course, when you get comfortable doing that, you can make up your own praises. You know, you start to see things and experience things, and you start to say, wow, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for that. You are so good to me. I appreciate you being the kind of God that you are and not the kind of God that mankind makes up. You know? Okay, number two. So the first one was the practice of praise-filled prayer. Number two is the peace of personal prayer. Jesus invites the apostles to come away by themselves to a quiet place and rest for a while. Most people don't think of their personal prayer as a privileged invitation from the Lord. Nor do they think of it as rest. Now remember this. This is something important. Jesus invites the apostles to come away. In Scripture, God and Jesus invite us to come away by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. Most people don't think their personal prayer is a privileged invitation from the Lord, nor do they think of it as rest. Yet consider that the Lord invites us to come aside and spend personal and private time with him. It's a personal invitation. Come away with me, my beloved. Come and spend time with me. I have so much I want to share with you. That's his attitude. What's ours, right? And Monsignor goes on to say, most people would relish personal attention from a famous person. Why not the Lord? This old song that I just read to you a minute ago, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Yep, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Notice it says everything. He goes on to say, note the description of this time as rest. Most people think of prayer more as a task than as a time of rest. Yet to pray is to rest, to withdraw from this world for a brief time and enjoy the Lord's presence. Scripture says, for thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. That's from Isaiah. And then he quotes another old hymn that says, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and often escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Monsignor goes on to say, learn to think of prayer as quiet time as rest with the Lord, when he soothes, strengthens, refreshes, and blesses us. This is so true. I'll tell you one example of when that happened to me. I mean, it's happened many times. The first time that it happened to me, I volunteer in Chester with the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's religious order, and in July with their summer camp. And there's no air conditioning, and it's challenging for someone spoiled rotten like me who gets air conditioning all the time and isn't exposed to that kind of heat. I spend like a month trying to get my body used to that before I even go to camp. But by the time I get home in the afternoon, I am physically and mentally exhausted. It is challenging. It's wonderful. But I come home wiped out. And so one day I came home and I thought about the Liturgy of the Hours. And in there is an afternoon prayer. Time every day as there's afternoon prayers within there. So I went over to my little prayer corner and I picked up the Liturgy of the Hours and I started praying the afternoon prayer. Honestly, I only did about a minute of it. And I was so refreshed, so renewed, I actually had energy again. It was like I had drunk from the fountain of youth or something. It was the most amazing thing that happened. And so after that, I would do that every day when I would come home from camp. And so now what I do is, you know, like even today, I had a very busy weekend and I was very tired preparing for this. And so I prayed the Liturgy of the Hours, afternoon prayer, and it gave me energy and insight and the strength to go on and to really, you know, it lifted me up. And so when Monsignor says, think of prayer as quiet time, as rest with the Lord, when he soothes, strengthens, refreshes, and blesses us. I know it's true. And I'm sharing that with you because you will find that it's true too, if you will but give him a chance. Okay, and number three, the primacy of prioritized prayer. The text says that people were coming in great numbers, the Bible text that I read to you, in great numbers seeking the attention of the Lord and the apostles. They could not even get a moment to eat. This is important, there is no doubt that the people had critical needs. They needed to be taught, healed, fed, and cared for in many ways. Yet despite this, Jesus said, in effect, we have to get away from all this for a while. He directed the apostles to go off in the boat to a deserted place. See, he's teaching us something there, something very important. For our minds, our bodies, and our souls, we need to take breaks and rest a while on a regular basis, every day. And that's not just at night when we go to bed. He has built that desire to come away with him and the importance of doing that in order to soothe, strengthen, refresh, and bless us. So anyway, despite all of those people, can you imagine how many people that he had to walk away from and say, I'll be back, you know, just be patient, in order to go away with the disciples to pray and rest? It couldn't have been easy. It couldn't have been easy. It's not easy for us to do it either. Okay, and Monsignor goes on, indeed, one of the few places they could get away was out on the water. So remember, he said they got in the boat and they pulled away, got away. Indeed, one of the few places they could get away was out on the water. There the crowds could not follow them, and they could be alone and quiet for a short time. Jesus made prayer a priority. Scripture says of him, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Scripture also speaks of him rising early to pray, praying late into the night, praying all night long, praying in the mountains and other deserted places. Understanding prayer as rest helps us to understand why prayer must be a priority in our lives. If we are going to engage in the work to which God has called us, regardless of what kind of work it is, okay, it can be, you know, a secular job, it can be a job with the church or whatever, but regardless, it can be at home with your children. We need to be replenished and refreshed daily by spending time with him. If we were to engage in physical work without ever stopping to rest, we would collapse. The spiritual life has a similar law. Resting with God in prayer fills us with his presence, grace, and strength so that we can be equipped, empowered, and enabled unto the tasks that he has given us. No one can give or share what he does not have. So if we aren't praying and experiencing God's presence, how can we share it? To share grace, we must first receive it. To speak the word, we must first receive it. To witness to the Lord, we must first know him. Jesus often had to hide in order to pray. Sometimes the only quiet place he could find was out on the lake, but he did make time for prayer. He invites the apostles and us to do the same, not only despite the busyness of life, but because of it. There's a saying, I regress for a minute, there's a saying, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. So he shares this brief story, which should resound with some of us. And he says, a brief story. A priest friend of mine told me that back in the 70s, he once gave spiritual direction to a religious sister. At that time, it was common for people to say, my work is my prayer. When this priest inquired about the good sister's prayer life, she answered, oh, I'm too busy to pray. But that's okay, because my work is my prayer. That's my spirituality. He replied, sister, if you're not praying, you don't have a spirituality. He got her to start praying for 1 hour a day. Some years later, he ran into her at the airport. By now, she'd moved on to become a major superior in her order. How are you doing, mother? He asked. Oh, she replied, I am very busy. He cringed, but then she added, I'm so busy these days that I have to spend 2 hours a day praying. Now that's a smart woman. When we're being foolish, we say, I'm too busy to pray. When we're smart, we say, I'm so busy, I need to pray more. That's very important. Wisdom there. I'm so busy, I need to pray more. Mother Teresa said, I'll tell you, my secret is easy. I pray. And she did some of the most amazing things that I can't even imagine most people doing. And she got that from her prayer life and the Holy Eucharist. Monsignor goes on to say, Jesus made prayer a priority. Prayer is the rest that strengthens us for the task. It's a refreshment that gives us new vigor and zeal. And number four, the power of pious prayer. The text says that after Jesus spent this time alone with the apostles on the boat, they reached the other shore. Sure enough, the crowd was there waiting for them. But Jesus and the apostles had been refreshed and were now well-rested. Jesus, renewed and refreshed, saw the vast crowd and began to teach them at great length. Prayer has that effect. In drawing close to God, who is love, we are better equipped to love others. Jesus, though he never lacked love for them, models this renewal for us. The text says that upon seeing the crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them. The text says upon seeing the crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them. The Greek word translated for pity means to be moved with compassion. The word pity often carries with it a condescending tone. But what happens here is that Jesus sees them, loves them, and has compassion for their state. The religious leaders in Jerusalem have largely abandoned them, considering them the great unwashed. But Jesus loves them and teaches them at great length. It often takes many years and a lot of prayer to equip our hearts in this way. One of the signs that grace and prayer are having their effect is that our love for others, even for the multitudes, grows deeper, more compassionate, more patient, and more merciful. This takes great prayer and long hours of sitting at the Lord's feet, learning from him. Here is the power that prayer bestows. We are more fully equipped for our mission, more zealous, and more loving. The rest afforded by prayer rejuvenates our better nature and helps it to grow. So here are four teachings on prayer. Jesus found time to pray. He made it a priority. How about you? That's the end of his article. That was an article, Four Teachings on Personal Prayer by Monsignor Charles Pope from Washington, D.C. And the Lord gives us so many ways to draw close to Him. And when we draw close to Him, He draws close to us. He reveals Himself to us. He ministers to us. He comforts us. He leads us. He loves us. And so I encourage you to make a daily appointment. It might have to be different times and different days. And if something comes up that you really can, if you can avoid something interfering with that time you've set aside, then avoid it. But if something comes up and you can't, reschedule yourself that day. Find a way to make this happen. Make an appointment with Jesus. Come away with Him. Hear Him say, come away. Sit for a while. Rest with me. Let's spend time together. Okay? You will not regret it. This is one of the great gifts that God has given us and that Jesus won for us, is the ability to sit and ponder, to sit and love the Lord, to hear His voice, and to be in communion with Him. And then go out from that, what you've learned there, what you've experienced there, and be able to share the reality of Jesus Christ with those you love and care for. It's remarkable. I have to go in a little bit, but I wanted to share. I'm just going to pick a random quote from Mother Teresa and share it with you, all right? She says, I can give you nothing, I have nothing to give, but what I want from you is that we look together and we see the poor in our own family. We begin at home to love until it hurts. If we know our own people, we will know who is at our who our next door neighbor is. Do we know the people around us? Anyway, I have to go. Thank you for tuning in. I hope this has been helpful, and I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless you all. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me and for the whole network here and everyone that's a part of it. God bless you richly. Take care.